we do have the scriptures, which is God's word. And so God do speak to us directly in that regard. But God has also put man in our lives. And when I say man, I'm referring to men and women. God has put men and women in our lives to tell us the things we need to hear so we may be obedient to Him. You know, I was sharing with a sister on Friday. We had a talk a little while back. And you know how it is in discipling. You said some things, and you said it with the best of intentions, but maybe it didn't come out exactly right. And you know, the sister, dear to my heart, we're great, great friends. And so we were chatting, and I was saying to her, the thing I realize with God is, when I'm told how to treat Nadine, if I disregard the person who is speaking to me, am I really disregarding that person? I'm disregarding what God intends for me to be obedient to. You know, God calls me to be considerate of her. If I don't do that, I'm not disregarding anybody but God. You know, when it comes to our relationship with God, we do not have a choice. There is no debate. We are called to obey God in all, in everything that we do. My first point, obey and be blessed. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, turn there with me. Or if you don't have your Bible, you can look at the screen. In chapter 5 and verse 33, it says, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. See, Moses was preparing the people for the promised land. And he wanted the people to get their hearts ready for what was to come. The people needed to consecrate themselves and enter the promised land as God intended. And so Moses said, walk in obedience. It doesn't matter what you've been called to. Whatever you've been called to, obey it. That's what God intended. And see, the book of Deuteronomy is littered with the word obedience or obey. As a matter of fact, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through to Deuteronomy, I mean, they have obey or obedience all over the scriptures. And yet, the book of Deuteronomy, on its own, has these words more often than all the four previous books combined. You know, that's how much. You see, this was before the big push. This was before Joshua. And God was saying, look, you need to get the concept right. Get in the habit of doing it exactly as I say it. You know, we have a three-year-old here. Well, he's now 4 years old. And almost anything you ask of him, he asks, why? You know, I really love and appreciate my wife. And she's so patient and tolerant. And she takes time to explain to Adrian, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And I do my best to imitate that sometimes. But there are times when I say, boy, don't ask me why, just do it and do it now. And I think sometimes he's just being mischievous. And sometimes we too can be a little mischievous in our dealings with God. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Well, God says so. I'm just the messenger. And if I'm not the messenger, another one will come. That's what happened in the past. A prophet came along, they killed him. Okay, God sends another. And they couldn't kill them all. God kept sending prophets after prophets. You know, he sent judges at some time. Then he sent Jesus. And after Jesus left, he said, the Spirit, they can't kill the Spirit. And that's just the way it is. Just obey. Amen. You know, we've been promised blessings after blessings if we're obedient to our God in heaven. You know, I said earlier how the concept of obedience or obeying someone doesn't really sit well with us. And it did happen back in the day where King Henry VIII, because his wife disobeyed him, he had her head cut off. Now, praise God, that doesn't happen these days. But when you enter into a relationship, a man and a woman, you see, men, it is a lot simpler for the woman to be submissive, to follow willingly, to respect you, to follow your lead, if she knows that you are devoted and dedicated to loving and cherishing her. The times when I'm loving and when I cherish Lydia like a beautiful flower, and you know, I make sure her petals are right and she's well watered, man, following is easy. But when she needs to be watered and nurtured, and I neglect my God-given duty, I don't see the petals of the roses. All I see are the prickles on the roses. And she's not a bad person. You see, when that happens, I gotta look at me. You know, Mike Fontenot once said to me, he said, "Bro, the role of a husband is not fair. But you know what? We are men, so we have the role." And he said, "It is not fair because you look at Jesus and the church. And what Jesus did for the church, in our eyes, is not fair. But we are called to be Jesus in the relationship. And so we don't have a choice. We have to be Jesus. And so if we want our wives to love us and submit to us and obey us, well, let's be the example of submission and obedience to God so she can follow." That's what it is. You know, obey and you will be blessed. You know, if you're a parent, the things you say to your children, you know how valuable they are. And your children will say to you sometimes, "What you're saying to us is not fair. Why are you so unreasonable?" Are you thinking to yourself, if only he would understand. If only she would get it. I was your age at some point. If you do not obey what I'm telling you, it's going to hurt you. If you don't obey, you're going to hurt yourself. And depending what age you're at, if they don't obey, I'm going to hurt you. So it's hurt on top of hurt. It's just not worth it. Now, we are God's children. And the things God say to us, let us obey them. The things your fellow disciples say to you, and especially those who've been around for a while. I have often said to people who've been around for years and years and years, don't tell us only of the glorious days. Tell us of the mistakes you've made. Tell us of the consequences. Warn us so we don't fall in the same trap. You've walked the road for a reason. Share the experiences with us. You know, God expects us to do exactly as he says. There are no ifs, there are no buts. Just do what God says. You know, many years ago, about 100 Jews were kidnapped in Uganda. And the Israeli government decided, you know what? Let us send some commandos to go rescue our people. You know, say what you may about the Jews. I appreciate the way they look after each other and the extra mile they'll go for each other. And so they sent a couple of jets with soldiers from Israel to Uganda. And in fact, I mean, the way they did it, incredible. I mean, they flew at one point over the river, and they were flying so low so that countries like Jordan or Egypt, their radar wouldn't detect that they were going through. And when they got to the airport, the soldiers alighted and they shouted in Hebrew, and I'll get the word for you, "Get down, crawl on the ground." They said it in Hebrew for the Jews to hear. Now, the captors, they didn't understand Hebrew, and so they didn't know what was going on. And so as soon as the soldiers gave the command, they, as you would say, opened up. And everybody standing was cut down. Now, of course, three Jews also died. And the reason why they died, when the command was shouted in Hebrew, "Get down, crawl on the ground," they too hesitated to see what was going on and got cut down in the hail of bullets. Now, when the commanders came in, a young man, a young Jew who had gotten down on the ground as commanded, with all the ruckus going on, he jumped up to see what was going on. Of course, the soldiers weren't sure who he was, so they shot him too. And he also died. And the lesson I'm learning from this is, man, when God gives a command, just do it immediately. You don't know what's coming next. Don't wait to see. Just do exactly as God says. You know, God's commands are there to benefit us. You know, God wants us to just trust Him and obey the commands. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses reminds Israel of the importance of obeying God's commands and keeping true to God's word, because it was for their own good. You know, you'd think after their experiences in Egypt, being brought through the Red Sea, being led by a ball, a fire by night, and a pillar of cloud by day, being fed in the desert, being given water to drink where there is no water, you would think to yourself, goodness, what more does God need to do to get them to understand, just follow my lead? And yet, Israel didn't follow God's lead. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, turn here with me. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, 3 and 4, it says, "You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor, when the Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today." You know, God wants us to obey and be blessed. You know, God wants us to not question His plans for us. See, it takes faith to obey. It takes faith to trust God's promises. You know, it takes faith to disregard our own hearts and do what is right. It takes faith to not give way to fear. We disobey because of fear. It takes faith to obey God. Obey and be blessed. In Hebrews chapter 3, turn there with me. It says in verse 12, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard the rebellion? Were it not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Have faith in God. When nothing else makes sense, have the faith in God. Have just enough faith to believe God. Do you remember the story when Jesus came, when the guys went out fishing all night and they caught nothing? And they came back to shore and quite possibly discouraged. And Jesus came and said, "Guys, bring some of the fish here, man. Let's have some breakfast." "Oh, sorry, master, we caught nothing." "Really?" "Yeah, nothing." "Well, put back out a bit and cast your net over on the right hand side." "Man, we've been here all night. There is absolutely nothing." That's fine. Go ahead and do it." "Okay, Lord, because you say so, we will do it." Yeah. And they did it. And they caught so many, they could not even haul them all in. See, things happen sometimes for God to test our faith. To see if we have just enough faith, that mustard seed faith, to obey his words. Obey God and be blessed. Secondly, trust God knows what's best. This is a big one. You know, God knows what's best. No matter what, God knows what's best. I remember years ago, Nadia and I were traveling to the country from Kingston. And we're driving through a hill country. And in that hill country, if you're behind certain kinds of vehicles, it's really hard to overtake. And it's like 5 miles of hill country. And I'll be honest with you, that day I was just struggling with impatience. And I'm stuck behind this guy who looks like he was on a Sunday morning stroll. And he was going nowhere. And at the first light of day, I went for it. And as I pulled out to overtake the guy, I saw a pedestrian crossing and a pedestrian sign. And I'll confess, I just thought, you know what, I'm going for it. Because there's nobody around, it is fine, it is safe, I can't take this guy anymore. And I went for it. And I felt good, I've gotten rid of you. And as I passed the guy, I saw a guy run out in the road and held up his hand, dressed in police uniform. I thought, man, what do I do? And so I pulled over, because I'm stopped. And the policeman came to the door and said, "That is careless and reckless driving." And you know, bless my wife. You know, she wanted to try and defend her husband. I said, "Oh, okay, honey, don't worry. I said, "Officer, you go back to your car. I'll come and talk to you over at your car." And so I went over to the officer's car and "Didn't you see the pedestrian crossing?" And in my heart, something said, "Tell him you didn't see it." But in my heart, I know God expected me to be honest. And I thought, you know, I must be obedient to what God wants. I said, "Officer, I'll be honest with you. I saw the crossing. I saw the sign. I've been stuck behind this guy forever. I was frustrated. And I just, because there was nobody around, I just went for it." And he took out his book to write a ticket. That is bad driving, officer. I'll be honest with you. What you said is true. And whatever you give me, I deserve. Today, however, I'm going to ask you, please, for grace, mercy, and forgiveness." And he stepped back and looked at me and smiled. And in true Jamaican style, he said, what kind of work you do? That is, what's your job? What do you do for work? And I, at that point, I just felt so ashamed. I was in the ministry, so I said, officer, I'm a minister. Oh, really? You're with the government? No, officer, no. I'm a minister of religion. You're a pastor? Carrying on like that? And I got a good dressing gown. And they said, are you really a pastor? And back in Jamaica, all the staff were given photographic IDs. And so I reluctantly went in my wallet and pulled out the ID. And it says, Franklin Walters, Evangelist, Kingston Church of Christ. And he said to me, pastor, you know better than that. I'll give you a blight today. Be careful. And I just felt the grace of God just... And I shook his hand with both hands. Officer, thank you. And I went. And you know what? I think God just said, this time, because you're obedient to what I want you to do, I'll let you go. You know, trust that God knows what's best. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 25, it says, if you're careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. And in chapter 11, verse 32, it says, Be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I am setting today. We need to trust that God knows what's best for all of us all the time. You know, a lot has been happening lately. There are many, many changes. You know, there are things we're doing now. Oh man, we're changing that too, and we're changing that too. It's change can be a shock to our system. Now, I'll be very honest with you. I've lived a life of change. And so when I hear of a change, I'm okay. And so usually I am not the best measuring stick. You know, I did 8 years as an evangelist, and I'm not lying to you. More often than not, if they needed somebody to pack up and go somewhere to do something, they'd always look in my direction. Now, the first couple of times, I struggled a bit. And then after a while, I thought, you know what? That's God's plan for my life. Amen. You know, here I am. Send me. I'll just go. And I remember when we got this place, and, you know, a sister said to me, bro, I see you've moved the church to Sutton, near to your home. And I said, sis, yes, the church has moved. And it is in Sutton, close to my home. But guess what? I didn't find the place. But I'll be honest with you, I am not complaining. And that was the truth. And I don't know what God is doing. But I say, sis, don't forget, for 9 years, wherever the church was, I was there. And I didn't even answer the questions. We just turned up. Pregnant, not pregnant, young baby, no young baby. We were there. Man, we were glad to be in church. We don't care where it was, Central London, Norbury. Man, you name it. We met in so many different places. Man, God help us. But here we are today. And this is where God will have us. You know, we're tempted in so many ways to disobey our God. And when we disobey simply because we've forgotten that the God we serve is the one true God. We need to remember God is everywhere. God is the Almighty God. He is the powerful God. He is the God who knows your thoughts before you do. As a matter of fact, he is the one who spoke everything into being. So if he said to you, I want you to make some changes, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Who are you going to fight with? You know, let's talk about being obedient to authority. I mean, let's just talk about it. You see, we have a change of leadership. And with the change of leadership, there are some changes to our direction. Now, do you understand all of what's happening? Maybe not. My philosophy is, man, you know, if this is what God wants, amen, I'm going to go with it. And I'm speaking as one who disregarded leadership in the past and who has seen the consequences of not being unified with the authority that God has instituted. You know, I remember many years ago being in the campus ministry, and there was a change of leadership. And a brother came to us from the New York City church. And as campus heard about him, people were a little uneasy. Because let's just be honest, you have a leader for a while, you become very comfortable with your leader. You know somebody new coming in, man, there may be some changes. What's going to happen? There are uncertainties. And I remember taking the campus ministry to the beach for a beach devotional. And man, and I was a working man back then. And so, I mean, a lot of the campus guys, they were broke. So we went to the beach. Michael was there. He was a working man too. And we went to the beach, and I did a lesson on being unified with God, with God's leadership, submitting to God's authority, giving our heart no matter what. And I brought them fried fish and festival, and they ate and were glad. And said, bro, we are with you. And then the brother came, and man, things didn't go as I thought they would. And we were all treated like teens. Now, I'm a man. And so I pulled him aside quietly. I said, bro, let me just clarify something here. I'm not your little brother. I'm a big man. As a matter of fact, yeah, I'm studying, but I got a job. Bro, don't disrespect me like that. It's bad for me, for my heart. It's bad for the group. Don't do that. You know, there were married couples in the group, and they felt like, man, this guy is just... And you know what? It never changed. And I withdrew my heart. I withdrew my heart, and I'll never forget that entire semester. That must have been the worst semester campus had ever seen. For the entire semester, we baptized one guy, and he didn't even last that long. And it's ironic because... The lead evangelist and his wife were out of town for that semester. They were in New York being given training. And when he came back, he came to me and he said, bro, I heard what happened, man. And I'm disappointed. And in my arrogance and pride, I thought, well, he didn't listen. And in my heart, I knew what I was saying was the right thing. But I had forgotten the office the brother held, and that I should be respectful, if nothing else, to the office. And you know, we got together, I wasn't on staff, but the staff got together at a retreat and they invited me. And at these retreats, men and women split, they got with the men, and you know, we talked it through, the brother got discipled, and I left there feeling, yeah, I knew I was right. But then in a quiet moment, I reflected on the effects it had on the ministry. And I felt very ashamed. Very ashamed. And I want to encourage you today, in closing, do not withhold your hearts from our new leadership. I share something with you in closing in the book of Romans. In Romans 13, it says in verse 1, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. And finally, in 1 Peter, it says, 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. In fact, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you once lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. In chapter 2, 1 verse 13, it says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as his supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. And Peter was saying, honor Nero. The man who fed your kids to wild dogs. The man who crucified you upside down and dipped you in tar and used you to light his pathway. Honor him. Because any authority that has been instituted has never been instituted without God knowing. Let us obey God and be blessed. Let us trust that God, who is in heaven, knows what is best. Now, if you look around, you may realize that most of our brothers and sisters from the Riverside are not here today. That is only because before we merged, they had a prearranged retreat. So they're down on the South Coast, maybe enjoying the beach and the sunshine. I don't know, but they're having a great time. You know, God be with them. Bless their hearts. That's why they're not here. But we who are here, let us hear the message. And let us be obedient to our God in heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen.